I got one more reason to thank the Lord. And I Bible cover here a month or two back when I was preaching, it didn't want to open. It was hung up, the zipper, thought it was done with, pretty old, but it's still going. I thank the Lord that it started working again. And they don't give them things away. They're pretty expensive at Martell's. But anyway, one more thank you, Lord. My title tonight is Why Weepest Thou? And there's a lot of different reasons why we cry. And there's times of joy, there's times of pain, sorrow, a time of loss, like a friend going home, like we celebrated today. We have a hard time letting go of them. We know where they're going, and they're a better place and doing better than they were. But still, it kind of hurts when you see them leave. But knowing one day we'll get to see them again, that makes it a lot better. And the Lord will take care of them. And, another reason for crying is weeping in intercession for those that are lost and interceding for people, don't know Jesus yet. And the Lord knows the language of tears. He sees our heart. He knows our thoughts. Even before, anything we think or say, He already knows where we're at. And we're not robots. God made us with feelings. And was at the funeral Friday. My wife's cousin, Bruce, passed away with cancer, but he went on to be with the Lord. I thank the Lord that shortly before, his mom and dad were saved for years, but I think he gave his heart to the Lord just recently, just before he went. Someone talked to him about the Lord. And wife and I went to visit him here not too long ago, a couple of weeks back or so, and he had a big white German Shepherd in his house there with him, and I guess he felt like he needed protection. But what I didn't know, his sister, who wasn't there at the time, said he doesn't like men with hats, and he doesn't like men with glasses. And I qualified in both areas. So I walk in, and he had me cornered up against the door. I didn't know if he was going to eat me alive or not. And he really wasn't physically able to control him and kept talking to him, and he finally got him put in a cage he had for him. And I thank the Lord again that didn't get dog bit. I've been bit a few times growing up over the years, and seemed like they don't like me, a lot of them. But that one was one the shirt and the glad didn't get a hold of. I mean, he was a pretty good size fella. But like I said, there's many reasons why we cry. And I had this sermon prepared last week when it got to church Sunday. Didn't know if it's going to be my turn to preach or not. According to the schedule, I've been hitting the first week. But things changed up. And I was on the way to church tonight, and I was thinking about the message, and I listened to the radio at the same time, and there came a song on about a man riding on a train, and he had problems with his family. He disrespected his mom and dad, and he ended up hitting his dad, and his dad asked him to leave the house. Said, "I know it's going to break your mom's heart, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave." And then after a couple years went by, he was riding on the train there, and he was crying, and the minister sitting across from him said, "I can help. Is there something I can help you with?" And he told him, what happened, and he was going back to see his parents. And he said, "Well, how do you know if they'll receive you back?" And he said, "Well, I told them, called them, or talked to them, and said, if you'll receive me back, put a white flag in that old apple tree." And he's gone along on the train, and he said, "I can't bear to look. Would you look over?" And he said, the minister looked over, and he said, "You have nothing to worry about." So that old apple tree's in full blossom. He said, "I've never seen so many white rags tied to anything." And he said, "Besides that, here's mom and dad under the apple tree waving a white sheet. Says, welcome home, son." And that's just like Jesus. When we get out and mess up and we're in sin, and And we get away from God, and He welcomes us back. All we have to do is humble our heart and come back to Him. And He welcomes us home just like the prodigal son. You know, he went out and sowed his wild oats and had his good time, but things got rough. Where did he go? He went back home and said, will you accept me back just as a servant? And his father welcomed him home with open arms. And Jesus the same way. I'm thankful that we have such a loving, compassionate God. And not only listening to that song, but I got a little further down the road, and another one came on. And it hit right on some of my scriptures. And it was a song, I Got Jesus in My Heart to Stay. And some of the words was talking about Mary in the tomb there, and Jesus was speaking to her. And said, "Why weepest thou?" And it went right along with my message. And the Lord's timing, you know, just a confirmation to me. You know, the Lord talking to me. I know we hear from the Lord, and we know it's Him speaking to us. But yet there's times, you know, it just encourages us when we have a little extra to go along and kind of show that He's in what we're having to say. And I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 1 and 8. Begin with. It says here, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than thee, to thee better than 10 sons?" And, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get further into the scriptures here. Lord, we're just thankful, God, that we have You to call on, Lord, and You know our heart, and You know everything that concerns us, Lord, and You're concerned about each of us, and You love us, and You work everything out for our good. And we're just so thankful, God, that we have You as that anchor of hope, Lord, and not in this life only, but in the next also, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, God, that You care for each one of us. You don't leave any of us out. We praise You and thank You, Lord. Ask for Your help tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. But going further through this story here, we'll go on down, read a little further. It says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her words. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And we can go on down a little further, and it says, verse 20, "Where it came to pass, when the time was come, after that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." And she dedicated him to the Lord. And many times, parents, even today, we dedicate our children back to the Lord. We know they belong to Him. We're just in being used as vessels to raise them. And He wants us to do a good job and train them right and show them the right way, and we'll answer to the Lord how we do that. And anyway, Hannah here, Elkanah, if I'm pronouncing his name right, I don't know if I am or not, but he had two wives. Peninnah and Hananiah, the two. And Peninnah had sons and daughters already, but Hannah was barren, so he couldn't have children. And she was grieved about it, and this went on for a few years, but she was going to the Lord in prayer about this. Her heart was grieved. And he said, "Why weepest thou?" And that was something dear to her heart. She wanted a child. And anyway, the Lord answered her prayer. We know how the Lord used Samuel, and he spoke to him in the night and spoke to him, and he thought someone was calling him, but it was the Lord talking to him. But I want to go on to John 20, verse 9. St. John 20, verse 9. And it says, "For as yet they knew not that the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father, but go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so Mary was very heartbroken. She had seen her Lord being crucified. It was also her son, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. But they came there early in the morning. They're wanting to see Jesus, wanting to anoint his body, and the angels had done rolled the stone away, and they were thinking that Jesus had been taken somewhere else, and they were the first ones to see him after he had rose there from the dead. But anyway, he said to her, Why weepest thou? And I don't know why she didn't recognize him at first. I don't know, just like the men on the road to Emmaus, you know, where they had a different appearance or what. But anyway, he spoke to her again, and she realized who he was. And that sorrow, that weeping, went away quickly. It was immense joy after that. And that moment of no hope went to eternal hope. And, you know, if Jesus had not come out of that tomb, had not risen from the dead, none of us would have had a hope, you know, after this life. And we are thankful that he is that hope that we have, that sure anchor that we can go to. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves on me, I start weeping like a baby, and just hard to control myself. I mean, I know I'm not a robot. I have control over myself. I can do what he asks or not. You know, I have that option, but still, when you have a heart of gratitude and you realize, you know, just how undeserving you are and how good he is to us, you know, it's hard not to cry. And there's tears of joy. And there's we celebrated little Arian's birthday Saturday, and if I'm not mistaken, I've been told by my wife, I don't know how accurate it is, I don't remember that far back, but it said one of the first things a doctor does when you're born, you raise that little baby up and swats him on the bottom, and you hear that cry. You know, gets their airway opened up and gets liquid out of them, whatever, out of their face, you know, and they're freshly born. and just let you know they're okay. That first SWAT, the first day on your first birthday, here you are getting a spanking. And that's probably where they get the tradition, you know, a SWAT for each year you're born. But I don't know if that's how it all worked or not, but I'm just guessing that's what it is. But Luke 7:36, it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, and to thee, her sin which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but with whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So they didn't have a clue who they were dealing with, really. They didn't realize how precious Jesus was, but she did. And those tears she was shedding were tears of joy and gratitude and no way of thanking him enough. You know, she poured out that ointment, which was of great value. And she was just showing honor to the Lord and thankfulness. And he said, even though she was a sinner, she was forgiven. And their heart, on the other hand, you know, the attitude they have, they were still in need of the Lord's forgiveness, the way they were treating him. In Luke 6:21, it said, blessed are they that are hungry now, for ye shall be filled. And blessed are ye that weep now, ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. And in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto them that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe to them that are full, ye shall hunger. Woe to them that laugh now, ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto them when all men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers unto the false prophets. And so there's a time to weep. It tells us in Ecclesiastes, time for everything, time to rejoice and a time to weep and everything. But in here, we are in that time when we need to be concerned about others. We need to be interceding for them. And the time is short, and we need to be concerned about those that are lost and be that witness, just like our dear sister that went on to be with the Lord. You know, she was that light that the Lord called her to be. And though she went through many things, she never took her eyes off of Jesus. She knew him personally, you could tell from her life. And he knew her, and they're rejoicing together today. And there's a right reason to be crying and concerned about the lost. You know, John 3:36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So if we don't accept the Lord now, we don't know him as our Savior before we leave this earth, you know, we will definitely see the wrath of God. And that's a very serious thing. And Matthew 8 and 11. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And it's a shame. Many of those that are lost, you know, are ranked sinners. They have an easier time coming to Jesus than many that are sitting in the house of God that aren't living for the Lord. And they think they're all right. But it says they will be cast out and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we don't make it in heaven. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. You know, here we can weep for a short time for the right reason. And it's going to benefit others and us as well. But if we don't know Jesus when we leave this earth, we're going to be crying for now on. It's not going to be a pleasant place where people end up if they don't know the Lord. And it's going to be a very sad situation, no more hope. And Matthew 13:40 says, "As therefore the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them to the lake of the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the Lord warns us many times in his word, you know, now's the time to prepare. Don't wait too long. And he is coming in hours, we think not. His coming is near. He said in his word, he's coming soon. And thankful for that song tonight. That last one we sang, talking about going to be with the Lord. In Matthew 22:11, it says, "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said to him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he said, he was speechless. Then said the king unto the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And many shall be called, but few chosen." And this talks about a continuous obedience. And, you know, the Lord, he gives us that robe of righteousness when we accept him as a Savior. We're washed clean, and no one else can do it other than Jesus himself. But when we repent and call on him, believe in him, keep his word, you know, we have that hope before us. But those that are cast out, there will be some weeping going on. And Matthew 25:30. It says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant to outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And the unprofitable servant, the one that didn't want to do anything for the Lord, didn't want to serve him, and you know, didn't want to keep his word. This is a parable of the talents, and the talent there is talking about a measure of money. And it tells us in the preceding verses up above, I'm getting lost in my notes here, verse 18, it says, "But he that hath received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." So it tells us there is money. And then on down a little further in verse 27, it says, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." So So what the Lord blesses us with, He wants us to use it wisely and produce more and not just take it for granted or sit on it and do nothing with it. And this can also mean, you know, the talents He gives us to work for Him in our life, not just money, but money is included here. But He said the unprofitable servant will be cast out. The one that had the most, He gave him his reward. And Psalms 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In that heartfelt brokenness, that faithful sowing, agonizing prayer, we're interceding for others, you know, it's going to pay off one day, and people's hearts will be touched, and Lord hears our prayers. And just like the Hebrew people, they got themselves in trouble. They disobeyed God, and they went into sin and idol worship and things, and eventually they became slaves to the Egyptians, and the Lord heard their cry. They cried out for 400 years plus, and the Lord sent Moses to them and led them out. But many times we get ourselves in a mess because of our own sins, our own mistakes, and we don't realize it till it's too late, but Jesus is still there with open arms. You know, we call out to Him, and He'll hear us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the utmost that cometh unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I'm thankful that Jesus, when He went to heaven, He just said, well, my job's done. I'm going to sit down and hope they make it, you know. But no, He's still interceding. He's still concerned about each and every one of us every day. He's looking down, seeing what we're going through, how He can help us, you know. And anything that comes in our path that tries to keep us from it, he said there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, if we got a desire to make it to heaven, we can. And nothing can keep us out of heaven. That choice is ours. In Hebrews 11:35, it's one of the, it is the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35, I don't know if I said Hebrews. Wrong chapter here. Jesus wept. And this is talking about Lazarus when Jesus was away and Mary and Martha was there with their brother. He had done passed and he'd been in the grave 4 days and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. We know the story, but when Jesus came, he says in on my place here. Verse 30, it says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and confronted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews was also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And they then said to Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Therefore Jesus groaned again in himself, coming to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, See, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And he called him forth, and he came out of that tomb, and he lived again. And I bet that was quite a time. On the next chapter there, chapter 12, it talks about 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There, they made a supper for Martha and served. And can't hardly talk tonight. Out of Lazarus was out of them that sat at the table with one of them, with them. But anyway, you can just imagine the stories going on, you know, what all he experienced, and he was dead there for 4 days, what he had seen, and then he'd come back to life. And, you know, Paul talked about how he had been dead, caught up into the third heaven, and he came back, but he couldn't tell all what he saw. But I don't know if Lazarus was allowed to tell a little bit of what he's seen or not, but, you know, it had been an interesting time to sit around the table, visit with him that day. But Luke 19:41 says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, talking about Jerusalem. And he says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day, thy day, that things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of the visitation. And he was talking about how in the future that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and it was prophesied in Jeremiah and also in Isaiah, and it's going to be covered some in my scriptures here. But Jesus wept. He seen the mess that they were in. He knew the brokenhearted. He was broken in heart for those that were lost, and he was concerned about the human race and all the rebellion, and he knew that they needed him. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceit. And so we are just like a big family. We are all God's family when we are born into his kingdom. But we are concerned when one of our brothers and sisters have a problem or something, going through a trial, or they're hurt, or just like Brother Fields and his accident. You know, we are all grieved by hearing that news, and we were all praying for him. And you know, it doesn't matter which one it is, you know, what we're going through. We are all rejoicing together, and we all weep together. We're all a part of that same family. And Joel 2:12. Says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. In Joel, find my place here. He was prophesying about Judah. He's telling them to turn back to repent and turn back to the Lord. And like I said, Jeremiah and Isaiah, both they were talking about warning Israel and Judah about turning their heart back to the Lord. If not, God's judgment will come. And we know how Jeremiah received a deaf ear from the people. It was in our Sunday school lesson not long ago. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He had a tender heart. You know, he was very concerned about those that he was prophesying to. He was warning them, and over he was rejected. And later, the Lord told him to put his message in the written form, and he did that and sent it to King Jehoiakim. And he took the scroll, he cut it up in pieces and threw it in the fire. And yet again, I think later he was wrote it. And then we know how Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all part of those ones that were deported into Babylon, and about 10,000 other captives. And because of their refusal to hear the Lord and repent and turn their heart to the Lord, that judgment of God that was foretold, it finally came upon them. And he prophesied to them for 20 years or better, and yet they still didn't hear. And it kind of reminds me of the United States today, and not only our country, but the whole world. You know, the Lord's calling out, turn your heart back to me, and get it right. You know, time's short. And most people in America, they don't want to hear it. They just turn a deaf ear to it. In Mark 14:72, says, the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And the Lord told him, he said he would go all the way with the Lord, even to death. And then the time come, the pressure was on, and he was being crucified there at Calvary. And Peter denied him. He was right there at the enemy's fire, warming himself. And two or three people come up and said, weren't you one of them? Oh, no, I don't know anything about him, Says he denied the Lord three times. And it was fulfilled, as Jesus said. And then he went and wept. He was sorrowful for his failure, what he had failed the Lord there and how he denied him. And he repented. And we all have to come to the Lord and repent. You know, we all have sin in our life, and we need to come back. It's like the Lord said many times, we rededicate ourselves over the years. We have that time of initial surrender to the Lord, but many times we drift from the Lord and get cold in our hearts, things we need to go back to the Lord and rededicate ourselves. But He is there for us if we'll just humble our heart and call on Him. And Jonah was in Jonah 2:2. He was in the whale's belly. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And there's Isaiah 15:5. I'm glad I wasn't one of those prophets in the Old Testament where they had to go give the bad news to the people. They weren't very popular. And it's been mentioned lately, but I feel for them. It wouldn't be an easy job. But they were bold men. They were inspired by God. They were had His blessing on them, and they were faithful to the Lord, and He blessed them and used them, but worked His will in them. Isaiah 15:5. It says, my heart shall cry out for Moab, his fugitive shall flee unto Zoar. And it says, a heifer of 3 years old, and by the mounting up of moveth with weeping, shall thou go it up. For in the way of Horonim they shall rise up a cry of destruction. And this is the burden of Moab because of the in the night, verse 1, it says, Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence because of the night. Ker of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. And Moab was continually an enemy to Israel, causing problems for them. And they were located east of the Dead Sea, it says, in my footnotes, it says. Even though they were an enemy to Israel, they were used to bring judgment on Israel, yet it came time for their judgment because they didn't turn from their wicked way either. And the prophet here, he was still, Isaiah, he was concerned, had compassion for them. And we're all people of God's creation, you know. We all have a soul. We're all going somewhere. But we need to be concerned about everyone and not just our own selves, get our little group in and not worry about anyone else. But we got to worry about the whole world. And Revelations 21 and 4, I'm thankful in this life we have a lot of time to weep, but in the next, you know, that weeping's going to be done away with. It says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For former things are passed away. And once we get over there, our battle is over. We are with the Lord forever. But those that don't make it, you know, the tears will stop in heaven. But those that don't make it, that's just the beginning for them. They're going to be in sorrow for eternity after that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, talking about another cry that's going to be made. The Lord's going to come in the air, and he's going to send his angels back, and we're going to meet them in the air. And I do believe that's getting really close, the way things are looking. Whether we go by the grave or in the air, doesn't matter to me. I just want to go, and I don't want to miss it. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And these truly are comforting words, knowing that we do have a hope, and he will one day take us home. Isaiah 1:17. There's so much being forced upon us in this time we live in. You know, it gets really annoying, things that are against God's will and his way of life. But I'm thankful once we get over there, that battle's going to be over with. And we'll have a time of rejoicing. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And once again, Pastor was talking about this morning, just being obedient. That's the first step. And when we surrender to the Lord, accept him, accept that sacrifice he made for us, and then, you know, just live for him, we just got to be obedient to him in whatever he asks us to do. Isaiah 21:9. Isaiah 21:9. Saying, behold, there came a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen, and he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken in, up unto the ground. And we know this is in the past where Jerusalem was overcome, and then later Babylon was conquered. And then in the last days, in Revelations, it talks about the end time Babylon, the world system where Christ will overcome the enemy and destroy that world system, and Christ will complete the redemption for his people. And there is a time of rejoicing in the future for the believer. In Luke 19:41, you know, this old world party's about over for them. It's just beginning a time of rejoicing for us. In Luke 19:41, and when he was come near to behold the city, he wept over it. I got ahead of myself a while ago. This scripture I've already covered. He's talking about how he wept over Jerusalem. But why criest thou? Do you cry out of self-pity, or just having a pity party? Or, you know, the Bible says not to spare the rod on the child. You know, if you're correcting him, and spare not for his weeping and crying. It's all needful. And the Lord, he disciplines each one of us. And without it, we're not going to make it home. But are we crying for the right reason? Are we crying at all? Are we just having a good time and ignoring things around us? But we should be very concerned about those that are going into eternity. But that cry is going to pay off. You know, one day we'll hear that cry in the air, "Come be with me." The Lord will come for us. I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.